It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already April 21st and 22nd, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to my running friends who joined me last night at the NHGI campus for the third race of the Capital Area Race Series. The Capital Area Race Series is a series of eight races which began in Gilmington a few weeks ago, and the latest one was Friday, April 20th. So thank you all for doing that. The great thing about this show is it affords me the opportunity to interview some very compelling guests, some very compelling organizations. And this week's weekend is no exception. We have Craig Peterson, who, as you know, he's on various radio stations, has his own show. You probably get his emails as well. Craig is an expert in technology and cybersecurity. So, Craig, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a pretty busy guy.
Hey, thanks.
I really appreciate the fact that you've given up part of your weekend to join me. So would you tell I know you have a very extensive background, so tell us that background and then how you sort of see yourself now getting the word out. I mean, one of the reasons why I really love having you on the show is I get your emails, and I think you are trying to educate the public on kind of the data war that we're in and the security war. And I know in my own boardroom, we spend the first half hour, first 20 minutes of every board meeting on cybersecurity. We now have a cybersecurity committee. So obviously, this is on everybody's mind from a corporate perspective, but also from a citizen's perspective. So would you tell the listening audience about your extensive background?
Sure. Yeah, it is a really big deal nowadays when you're talking about cybersecurity, and it goes all the way from little guys through big guys. Many businesses don't realize that they are the target, particularly a smaller business, because they don't have the expertise that they need in-house. So it's good to hear, Tom, that over Delta Dental, you guys are doing that. You have someone responsible for it. You know, we just saw Richard Smith here within the last few weeks. He was the CEO over at Equifax, get $1 million bonus. Now, he was in charge of Equifax when they lost the personal records of 150 million people. And, you know, you get right down to it. And the big question is, I guess it's kind of a big enough to fail type of an issue here, right? Equifax is so big, he didn't go to jail. He got a bonus. If you or I had this sort of a problem, we would have regulatory problems coming out of our ears. And there's more and more laws with more and more teeth. But going
and
back,
I probably wouldn't be employed, trust me.
Yeah, exactly. Not getting this kind of race. He got $15.7 million in compensation last year, and he was in charge of one of the biggest breaches in history when he was the executive over there. So my background goes back to really the early 80s. 1983 is when I started doing internet protocol development. And I got hit back in 1991 with something called the Morris worm. Now, I had a lot of businesses that I was helping get online. I made some of the very first large websites. And I realized that, wow, wait a minute here. Now, my customers being down for 3 days while we try and figure out what the problem is something completely unacceptable. And I thought I would lose all the customers back in 91, of course. The whole internet thing was new, so I was kind of okay. I decided I needed to learn more about this, do more for my customers about it. So I've been on the soapbox, 91, my gosh, I kind of feel
you're old. Ahead of your time.
Yeah, yeah, bottom line. And doing this for million-dollar day lottery systems, I have multinational corporations as clients. And we have weathered over the last 20-plus years with these clients every major security breach that's ever happened. So I've seen them all. By the way, none of my clients have ever had anything happen internally, or at least the divisions I've been in charge of, right? The other divisions got nailed last year by WannaCry. They had to stop manufacturing, distribution, sales, everything for more than a week while they tried to recover. Look at what just happened to Atlanta within the last month. The city of Atlanta, for the second time in less than a year, is offline because of the security breaches that are happening. So it's crazy, Tom. You know, this yes, it's difficult. Yeah, you don't go to an EMT at the side of the road. Nothing against EMTs. I was a volunteer for 10 years, okay? But you don't go to an EMT at the side of the road and say, I want brain surgery. You don't go to just some local mom and pop and say, hey, listen, I need to secure my systems. Or even an internal person who, yeah, they've got their MCSE or something, right? Some low-level certifications, but they're not keeping up on it. They don't know what the latest threats are. And you end up getting compromised. It's just nuts what's going on out there.
And it's getting worse, wouldn't you say?
It's continuing to get worse more and more. I'm involved with the FBI now, slightly
here. Tell us about that. This isn't a good way, by the way. Yeah, so go ahead, tell
exactly.
us about that.
Hey, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
The InfoGuard right? program.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
Exactly. FBI has something called the InfoGuard program, and I'm a proud member of InfoGuard. And this is a program they've had now for a few decades where they work with private sector companies and individuals who are responsible for our critical infrastructure. So that means everything from, you know, the power plants all the way on down through manufacturers and even small businesses. Anyone that has anything really to do with security, whether that's physical security or electronic security. And you get this little, an FBI, this guy is not a criminal type of background check. It's not like a big FBI background check, but they just make sure you're a good guy. And then you get behind the scenes information about what's happening. You get these daily briefings. You know what to look for. And in my case, I share it with my clients when it's appropriate. And in most cases, we run the security for our clients entirely, even these multinationals, where my team is watching this all the time. So they don't have to keep up on this on a daily basis. But InfraGuard's fantastic. Right here in New Hampshire, we've got a chapter. You'll find it at InfraGuard, InfraGard, InfraGard-NH.org is where you'll find it online. It's a phenomenal thing if you're involved with any kind of security to do that. And now I'm running for the FBI InfraGuard program, all of their national webinars. So we get hundreds, 1,000 people on these webinars where we're explaining what's going on. We're giving some basic background as to what the FBI is finding is happening right now in the real world, what criminals are doing, how they're trying to defraud businesses. We had a briefing by the Secret Service here just a couple of weeks ago talking about the, you know, really what's going on out there, what you have to watch for, as well as the FBI. Major financial institutions here in the state are involved with this as well. They all communicate with each other because if they're going after one institution, they're going after another, right? A similar one. So it's really been a great program. And I think anyone that is involved with some sort of security should get involved.
It's to your credit that you're engaging in those webinars. That's awesome. So let's kind of put things in two categories. So if I'm a business person, let's say I'm one someone in senior management, what are three things I should be doing as far as from a corporate perspective? And that's whether I run a company of 10 people or 300 people, like in my case. And then a second bucket of if I'm the sort of the average citizen of New Hampshire, if there is such a person, and I lose my cell phone, and what should I be doing as an individual citizen? So you can start with either one.
All right.
And that's a lot there, I know.
Yeah, how many hours do we have?
We need about four, but we'll go with 3 minutes for now, and then we'll take a break.
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, I did a webinar, in fact, on the seven deadly things that businesses are doing right now or not doing. And this is according to the FBI information that's out there. So you can sign up to find out more, but here's the bottom line. If you're a business, you've got to make sure that you're covering two different parts of your business. You've got what we call the wetware, which is, Tom, that's you and me, right?
You get it.
And then you have the hardware, and you have the software as well. So there are three components here. So from the wetware standpoint, you are fighting a multi-billion-dollar industry because here's what's happening. There's something the FBI is calling a business email compromise, BEC. And the business email compromise is where people will do some research on your business. So for instance, if you go to my company, if you go to mainstream.net online, there is a page that you can click right at the top saying who are the officers of the company, right? And everybody has all of their officers. Oh, it's great. And here's our CEO and here's our CTO, et cetera. Well, what's happening right now is criminals, mostly in Eastern Europe, are going onto that website. And they say, oh, Tom Raffio. Okay, so he's the president. Who's the CFO? Who's the treasurer? Oh, okay. So now they go and do research on you online, okay? And they find out, oh, well, Tom went to Harvard. And
which I did, by the way. There you go.
And, you know, the CTO went over here and the CFO went over there. So now they usually they'll try and be a young lady, okay? And they will send a Facebook invite to you. Hey, I haven't seen you since school. You know, when, you know, where are you doing nowadays? I'd like to link up with you, right? So they'll do that through LinkedIn or they'll do that through Facebook. Now you'll say, I don't remember that person, but you know, what the heck? I'm getting old and I don't remember names from all those
and
years
ago. And that's true too.
So you accept the invite, right? So now you're friends. Now they have access to your private information. So they know who your CFO is, and they know that, Tom, you're going on vacation down to Bermuda for a couple of weeks coming up at the beginning of June. Not that that's necessarily true, okay?
That's not true, but go ahead.
And so they know you're going on vacation. So what they'll do now is they'll wait until just before you go on vacation. And if they notice, if they can find an email address for you, because remember, they already linked into you, they friended you, they started corresponding with you, they got you to send them an email. So they see, oh, it's Tom Raffio at AOL.com. Then what they do is they go online and they pull up on YouTube, baby crying. And they start it playing on their computer. And then they call up tech support. And with the baby screaming in the background, hi, this is Mary, I'm Joe's wife, who happens to be the CFO of your company. And he's waiting for this job thing and blah, 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 blah. Right? And she convinces them because she has enough information about him. Because what did she do? She friended him on Facebook, so she knows about the family. She went ahead and she got him on LinkedIn, so she knows about his career, where he's working, who the people in the organization are. And she now gets his AOL account, okay? And so now what happens is Tom is off enjoying himself in Bermuda, and she sends a little email off to Tom's CFO that says, oh, this is Tom. I can't believe this. We've had this new vendor for the past 2 months, and we haven't paid them. And if we don't pay them, we're going to lose them. And I can't lose this vendor. I need you to wire $45 million right now into this account. Well, Tom has sent emails from that account before. They had a chance to go through Tom's AOL account and see from that AOL account how Tom writes, how he signs off, how he sent things off. Now Tom's in Bermuda, hard to get a hold of. The CFO is used to getting emails from Tom asking him to do things, right? So now off goes $45 million. I've just related a true story. 90 seconds later, that money's out of the country.
And you can see how that can happen. They're getting more and more sophisticated. Tom Raffio with Craig Peterson. And if Craig's first 12 minutes didn't stimulate you, you can go on craigpeterson.com or mainstream.net and you can get more information. And I'm on Craig's email list, and every day I'm learning stuff, and that story that was just told, you can see how it's happening. I know in our company, Northeast Delta Dental, we do a lot of campaigns to educate our employees, and one of the things that we do is we stage emails and see how many people will click on something that's fraudulent, and it was just kind of an educational process. But one of the things I'm thinking of, Craig, is like some of these imitation, phishing things are actually they look more real than the real website. So it's almost impossible. I'm at the point now if I get an email with an attachment I'm constantly just basically calling tech support and our security experts to say, is this real or not? I mean, it's just an approach I've taken, and so far so good. But we take this very seriously at Northeast Delta Dental. So Craig, let's continue on. You were talking about wetware, hardware, and software from a corporate perspective. Let's spend a couple more minutes on the corporate side of things, but then let's get into, because I know we have a A lot of people that listen to us that are individual consultants, or maybe they work from their home, or they're just normal New Hampshire citizens. So let's finish up with corporate and then get into, for example, what you should do as individual citizen if your iPhone gets stolen, as an example.
Yeah. Well, from the corporate side, there's a lot you should do. There is more and more risk to not doing this on the corporate side. If you collect credit card information, for instance, and you have a breach, we're talking about a $200 per credit card that you have fine. So it can amount into the hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars pretty quickly. And now we've got the GDPR, which is this new privacy policy that has gone in place over in Europe. And that's been in place for 2 years. And as of middle of May, so just coming up here in a few weeks, we're talking about having criminal liability, and any company in the U.S. that has a European visit their website is pulled under this whole umbrella, this whole net. So there's a lot to know, and as you pointed out, Tom, I think I do a pretty good job curating that newsletter that goes out. I take some of the best examples that are out there, and I have some webinars that are instructional, always free briefings and stuff that we do. And I'd like to invite people to go ahead and join up. And you can just visit craigpeterson.com and sign up right there on the homepage. And I don't harass you. I'm sending you hopefully good information. But as a business person, you have to be on top. The smaller the business you are, the more likely you are to fall prey to this. And one more real quick story. I got a call from a listener just a few weeks ago. Small business. It's him and a partner. And his partner was his wife. He ended up starting a divorce, going through divorce proceedings with her. All of a sudden, he was a lawyer. His case file started disappearing. Pictures of his family started disappearing off of his computers. Of his kids started disappearing. Files that he had to submit to the courts became empty. You know what happened in this case? As we investigated it, and then we cleaned it all up afterwards. But he found out what had happened. We saw all of the malware, but he found out because there was a $50 charge on his credit card. She had hired cyber criminals as a service. Wow. So for $50, she was able to get a cyber criminal to break into his computers, erase these files, erase all of the pictures of the kids and her, and cause nothing but grief. That's a small business. And for $50, it's crazy.
Well, so, boy, it's hard to stay one step ahead against of the bad guys. And like I said, at our company, every beginning of every board meeting, we spend time on this. We also now have a board cybersecurity committee, and we have a group of employees, and it's just amazing what I'm learning and the attention you have to pay in this area. Let's move to sort of I'm just a citizen in New Hampshire, and I've lost my wallet, which has bank credit cards, and I've just lost my cell phone. What are some of the things? First of all, obviously the best prevention is don't lose stuff, but beyond that, tell us about what you would do if you were in that position of losing your cell phone and perhaps some credit cards.
Absolutely. Another little story, my brother, we were on a trip together, and he made his trip very convenient. He had a wallet, and in that wallet he had his cash, he had his driver's license, he had his passport, and he had his telephone all together. How's that for handy? You know, you just pull it right out, Tom. You
good
got
for
everything.
A thief, right?
And he was pickpocketed, okay? And they stole all of that stuff. So the first thing that you should do...
But he was with you, so at least he had a subject matter expert right there.
Exactly. Exactly right. We were in Paris at the time, right? In Paris, France, not New Hampshire or Maine. We were in Paris at the time. So I had to translate for him as well because he doesn't speak French at all.
So you did that too well.
I did that,
Thank God you were with him.
Yeah. So number one, let's make sure that phone is not just misplaced, okay? So the first trick is give your phone a phone call. Hopefully some unknown third party doesn't answer your phone, but check it out. The next thing is to track it. Now, if you're using an iPhone and you have Find My iPhone enabled, which, by the way, you should always do on your iPads or iPhones, make sure that's enabled. Because if someone steals it, not only can you find it, but you can wipe it remotely. so that if they have it, it now becomes completely useless because once it's wiped, it requires your Apple ID in order to restore that phone, okay? So track it. Use Find My iPhone. You can go into Android Device Manager. If you have an Android phone, make sure it's set up so that you can do the tracking. And when it comes to Android, there's third-party pieces of software that you can get to track it. Notify your provider, whether it's, you know, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, whoever it is, that your phone's being lost. They might be able to track it for you, depending on the vendor and the software that you have on there. But that phone call is going to be invaluable because they can turn off the service to that phone. So they're not calling 900 numbers or some of these overseas numbers that are going to cost you a lot of money. Next, if you still haven't found your phone, call the police and get a police report on file. So that two things. One, if you have to have an insurance claim, they're going to want the police report number. And then the second thing for reason for calling the police is you don't want to be liable if that phone is used in the commission of a crime. So there's an exact date and time that they can go ahead and keep on it. Now, on your phone, there's a couple of special numbers. There's the IMEI as well as the MEID. These are the numbers that identify your phone and your SIM in your phone. Write those down, or what I do is just go to the About section of the settings and do a screen snapshot of all of those numbers so that I have them, and of course, get them off the phone. But you're going to give those to the police in case your phone's ever recovered. And that's what ended up happening with my brother. They found the phone because we were able to use Find My iPhone. We had all of the numbers for the phone so he could prove it was his. The police actually went to the locale. They found the guy, and he had piles of stolen wallets, credit cards, obviously, and phones.
Wow, you found a ring, huh?
We found a ring,
wow,
exactly.
Geez.
Then wipe your phone remotely. After you've called the police, after you've given up on it, wipe the phone. It's, you know, hopefully your photos that are on there or videos that you've taken, hopefully those are backed up or they're in iCloud if it's on your Apple device, or you've synchronized them over there onto the Google Drive if you're on the Android side. But wipe the phone remotely. Easy. All of this is easy to do on an iPhone. It's more difficult on an Android phone. But at that point, the phone hopefully is unusable, but at least they don't have any way to get access to your sensitive information. Why would they want your sensitive information? Go back to the business email compromise we were talking about. They've got information about you that they can use against you, against your company, against your employer, against your family. You don't want third parties to have any of that.
This is great advice. If you want more, go to craigpeterson.com and you can get on his email distribution. We only have a couple minutes, so would you, there's a lot of talk about news and what's real, what's not. So tell us what Google has in mind. I thought that was interesting and when you gave me the material in advance. So tell us about what Google's doing.
Yeah, Google, this is interesting because Google and Facebook and Twitter, all these major players are trying to make it so that the information that you get is valid. For instance, the majority of people, believe it or not, Tom, get their news. Number one source for news is Facebook. And now Facebook isn't a news source, right? But people are liking things on Facebook and their algorithms are used to determine what should they show other people. And guess what goes to the top? Whatever shared the most, basically, right? Google is looking at the same sort of problem. You can go to news.google.com and it actually has news sources. And it's quoting from newspapers and magazines as well as just from regular websites that are out there. But the bottom line is, it's a very difficult thing to do. Google's putting $300 million into this effort. Facebook has put a board in place of people to manually look at some of these articles that are being promoted to decide whether or not they're real or they're fake. Unfortunately, then you have humans involved, and how do you know if it's really real or fake or if it's someone's opinion? This is a difficult problem, Tom.
It is. And those of us who watch, and I do this on purpose, I watch 5 minutes of CNN and then 5 minutes of Fox because it's on my cable. It's 42 and 41 for the very same story, one saying white and one saying black. So
yeah,
what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, Craig, you're right. We could spend probably 4 hours. I'm going to have you back. You're awesome. thank you for sharing all of your wisdom, particularly if you know, I lost my iPhone. That's awesome. I've written a lot of copious notes. CraigPeterson.com if you want to get on Craig's email address, and you can find him on various radio stations in Northern New England. Craig, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Hey,
You're
thanks
awesome.
Again, Tom.